Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. Daf Chaftet. Today's daf was dedicated by Mr. Michael Wahaba in honor of his wife. Today's daf is being studied Rifuah Shelema Rina Bat Rachel. Enna Refana La Betoch Sh'ar Chole Amo Yisrael. Today's daf is being learned Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Adonai Tenechenu Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Chafchet Amud Bet, and we're going to start from three lines from the bottom. The Gemara yesterday discussed the Mishnah Betilat HaBeged Shekepela Velo Hibhaba. The Rabbi Eliezer Omer Teme'ahi and the Rabbi Akiva Omer Tehorahi, regarding a wick that came from a garment. So we said that the garment was 3x3 etzba'ot. It was a exact measurement, and then it was folded up into a wick. We had a machloket between the Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbi Akiva on two levels. The first issue was, is it tameh, meaning is it susceptible to tumah such a wick, or is it not susceptible? We gave a reason. We said that the subject of the machloket, is why it would be susceptible or not, is by making it into a wick, does it take it out of its status of 3x3 etzba'ot? According to the Rabbi Eliezer that says, teme'ahi, he says that it remains, it keeps its status as 3x3 etzba'ot, even though you folded it into a wick. Because bottom line, you could just unravel it and it has the shi'ur. So it's susceptible to tumat, shalosh al shalosh is ba'ot. But Rabbi Akiva said, no, once already you folded it into a wick, it loses its shim of 3x3, it's ba'ot, and therefore, tehorai, it's not susceptible to tumat. The second machlok between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva was, Rabbi Eliezer says, en madlikin ba, you're not allowed to use it, this type of wick. You're not allowed to use it for lighting nerot. But Rabbi Akiva said, madlikin ba, you can. What was the machloket there? So Rabbi Ada bar Ahava came along and explained the machloket. Rabbi Ada bar Ahava said, the machloket is dependent on a few factors, like we learned. First of all, he said the case is talking about Erev Shabbat, but that is Yom Tov. The Mishnah is not talking about a regular Friday. It's talking about Friday, that's Yom Tov. And the issue over here is you have a wick that started from a beged that was exactly 3x3 etzba'ot. We call that shalosh al shalosh etzba'ot mitzumtzamot. And the issue over here is that they both hold, the Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbi Akiva, of the principle that en masikin b'shivre kelim b'yom tov. You're not allowed to light the shivre kelim. What is shivre kelim? Shivre kelim is, let's say you had a keli, you had a beged, let's say, and it broke on Yom Tov. That's called shivre kelim. That keli is mukseh, under the subject of nolad, which is, it was created on Yom Tov. It went into Yom Tov as a keli, and then it broke, that became shivre keli. So therefore, since they hold En masikim b'shivre kelim b'yom tov, so that's the way he understands why you would not be allowed to light the wick on Yom Tov. Because it's talking about a wick that's 3x3 etzba'ot mitzumtzamot. It's exactly 3x3. So now when you're going to put the flame to it, it's going to end up burning a little of it. So it went from a beged now into a shivre keli, because the wick is consumed by part of the flame, and now it becomes less than 3x3 etzba'ot. It comes out, you're lighting with shivre kelim. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, teme'ai ve'en madlikin ba, because of that principle. Furthermore, Rabbi Akiva will say that madlikin ba. Why? Because since you folded it up before Yom Tov and made it into a wick, it's already considered a wick. It's not considered a beged when it went into Yom Tov. The folding, it takes it out of its status of 3x3 etzba'ot, then what's a wick? A wick is like a piece of wood. Just like you're allowed to light a piece of wood on Yom Tov, when it went into Yom Tov being a piece of wood, a wick is the same thing. So therefore you have no problem of shivrei kelim. It's not considered shivrei kelim, it's considered a wick. You're allowed to light a wick no matter what size it is. That's the Yakiva, that's why he says madikimba. That was the answer of Rav Adda bar Ahava. So the Gemara says, Umideka mitaretz Rav Adda bar Ahava Alibad Rabbi Yehuda. And the fact that Rav Adda bar Ahava introduced the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says, En masikin b'shivrei kelim b'yom tov, that you're not allowed to light broken kelim that broke on Yom Tov, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That was brought by Rav Adda bar Ahava to answer the machloket of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. So the fact that he brought that shitav in masikin b'shivrei kelim b'yom tov, shma mina k'Rabbi Yehuda svir aleh, must be that he holds of that shita himself. So comes the Gemara and says, Umi amar Rav Adda bar Ahava? Did Rav Adda bar Ahava really say such a thing? The amar Rav Adda bar Ahava, Rav Adda bar Ahava said, Nochri, a goy, shehakak kav bebik'ah. Let's say you have a goy, on Yom Tov, he took a piece of wood, and he dug a hole in the piece of wood. Kav is, let's say, made it a receptacle that can fit, let's say, a kav. Kav is a measurement. There was a regular log, and he made a keli on Yom Tov by digging a hole into the log. Now it becomes a receptacle. Now that piece of wood is now subject to the law of mukseh, because it's called nolad. Which is, it went into Yom Tov, a piece of wood. Now you created it and became a keli. So what does it say? So the deen is Yisrael Masika b'Yom Tov. The Jew is allowed to take that piece of wood and throw it into his fire on Yom Tov. This is what Rav Adda bar Ahava is saying. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ve'amai noladu. What do you mean? This is nolad. This was created on Yom Tov. So, and that's what Rav Adda bar Ahava is saying. So therefore you see that what? That Rav Adda bar Ahava, we have a contradiction in himself. He was the one that brought down the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says, En basikin b'shivrei kelim, meaning if something is nolad, you're not allowed to use it as fuel on Yom Tov. And he himself said, this piece of wood that became a keli on Yom Tov, that's nolad, he allowed you to fuel it. So the Gemara says, L'divrehem d'Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Akiva ka'amad leh. Vele lo svida le. Jesus, Rav Adda bar Ahava, when he brought down the opinion of En masikin b'shivrei kelim, you're right, that's the Yehuda's opinion. He didn't hold like that. He himself holds, you're allowed to take nolad on Yom Tov and use it as fuel, as evident by the case of the piece of wood that was turned into a keli on Yom Tov. Also, what was he saying over there, En Masikin? He was saying, according to Nabi Eliezer and Nabi Akiva, they hold En Masikin. He used that rule of En Masikin, Kelim B'Yom Tov, to explain the Mahloket in the Mishnah. But he himself, he doesn't hold of it. He holds Masikin. He holds you're allowed to use something that became Nolad on Yom Tov to light the fire. So then, Rav Adda bar Ahava used an opinion that he himself does not subscribe to. There's a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding Masikim Kelim. Rabbi Yehuda was the Mahmir one. He said, En Masikim Bekelim. And therefore, Adda bar Ahava used Rabbi Yehuda's opinion to interpret the machlok in the Mishnah. While he himself, hot like Rabbi Shimon, that Nolad is permissible on Yom Tov, mean that you could use it to make a fire, as evident by the case of the Bekat. Comes the Gemara and says, Rava Amar. Rava comes along and says, Hainu Tamad Rabbi Eliezer. I'll give you another reason for Rabbi Eliezer why he says that you're not allowed to use this wick as a candle, as a light on Shabbat. En Madlikinba. Rava is giving us a different reason. Because you're not allowed to use a wick that was not singed, nor are you allowed to use a rag that were not singed. Why? Because when you don't singe it, the wick does not catch the flame properly. We were talking about in our Mishnah, What are the points of our Mishnah said? You made a wick, but you didn't singe it. They used to singe it first in order to make sure that when you light it, since it's singed already, the flame catches much better. But if you didn't singe it, so the flame doesn't catch so good. So he says, that's the reason of the Mishnah. The Bili Ezer says, En Madlikin Ba, because it's not a good wick. Because Lo Hib Haba, because you didn't singe it. So according to the way that Abba is learning, this is not talking about Yom Tov, this is not talking about Shivrei Kerim, it's not getting into the whole discussion that Avada Bar Ahava got into. The Abba is giving a new reason to the Mishnah. A wick that was not singed before Shabbat, is it usable or not? The Bili Ezer says, yes. I'm sorry, the Bili Ezer says, no. En Madlikin Ba. Why? Because it's not a good wick until it's singed. The Rabbi Akiva says, Madlikin Ba. The singeing does not affect the usage of the wick. So it comes out we have two different interpretations of our Mishnah. Why En Madlikin Ba or Ken Madlikin Ba? According to Rabbi Adam Bar Ahava, the machloket is Dafka on a Erev Shabbat Yom Tov, and it's a 3x3 etzba'ot, and the issue is it becomes a shivrei kelim, and the issue is en masikim b'shivrei kelim b'yom, that whole subject. According to Rava, no, much simpler. It's talking about every Friday of the year. And what's the reason why you can't do it? Because you didn't make hibhub, you didn't singe it. Well, the Bi Akiva says, no, even though you didn't singe it, it is permissible. So those are two distinct reasons that have the nafkaminot. But it says, Elahad etani Rabbi Yosef, Gimel al Gimel mitzumtzamot lemayil cheta. So we had a Mishnah, we had a Braita that said that there's a law of a beggar that is 3x3 etzba'ot mitzumtzamot precisely lemayil cheta. What is that Mishnah or Braita coming to teach us? Which means, according to Rav Adah Bar Ahava, we understood what that 3x3 etzba'ot mitzumtzamot that was referring to our Mishnah. We have a 3x3 etzba'ot, mitzumtzamot, and you want to light it on Yom Tov, and the whole subject of Shavnei Kelim. But according to this reason, that says the reason why Rabbi Eliezer says you don't have to light it because you didn't make hibhub, because you didn't singe it. So what is this Mishnah talking about? Gimel mitzumtzamot. What does it have to do? What's the application? So the Gemara says, le'anyan tum'ah. You have nothing to do with wicks. This has got to do with tum'ah. Ditnan. Gimel al gimel sha'amru. When you have a beged that's 3x3 that we said is susceptible to tum'ah, chutz min amlal, it's referring to 3x3 etzba'ot besides its hem, which means in the olden days or even today, you make a beged, they make, let's say, a hem around the beged, let's say on its corners, which means they take two pieces of garments, then they fold it together, and they stitch it. So the hem is on the outside of it. So according to, if you want to see a picture of that, that would be in your Pirush Chai 267, where you see you have a garment that's 3x3, and you see the hem on the side of it. So according to the B Shimon, when we say 3x3, it's besides the hem. It's 3x3 outside of the hem. V'hachamim omrim, gimel al gimel mechuvanot. Hakamim say no. The shoot of 3x3 etzba'ot is 3x3 the whole garment, which means including the melal, including the hem itself. So that would be the machloket. So that's what the Mishnah meant when it said gimel al gimel mitzumtzamot. What was the Torah referring to? That was saying that the halakha follows hakamim, that so long as the garment is 3x3 exactly, even though take the hem into consideration, it's less than 3x3, doesn't matter. So long as the beged started as 3x3, that's considered susceptible to tum'ah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Masikim bekelim. Ve'en masikim b'shivrei kelim. Devei Rav Yehuda. Now we get to that machlok that we discussed earlier. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. You're allowed to use kelim, which are non-mukseh. You can use them as fuel on Yom Tov. Ve'en masikim b'shivrei kelim. But if it broke on Yom Tov, we said that's considered nolad. That's considered shivrei kelim. You cannot use them as fuel on Yom Tov. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon matir. Rabbi Shimon says mutar. Case number two. Masikim b'timarim. You're allowed to take dates. Dates are edible. They're non-mukseh. If you want to use them as fuel, no problem. However, achalan, if you ate them, en masikin begarainehem, devrei Rabbi Yehuda, the pits of the dates, you cannot use as fuel. Why? Because the pits are considered nolad. Because they weren't here, going into Yom Tov, so to speak. Now that you ate it, you created the pit, so to speak. Rabbi Shimon matir. Rabbi Shimon says, no, that's permissible also. Third case, masikin be'egozim. You're allowed to use nuts as a fuel. Achalan, but if you ate the nut, en masikin be'klipotehen. You cannot use the shells in order to fuel the fire. Why? Because the shells would be considered, again, nolad. So the Gemara says, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Shimon matir, and Rabbi Shimon says mutar. So we have three distinct cases. Shivrei kelim, we have the case of the dates, and we have the case of the nuts. Basically, it's saying the same thing three times. That while anything that became nolad on Yom Tov, Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot use it as a for a fire, and Rabbi Shimon says you can. So the Gemara says v'sericha. You need all three cases. Di'i ashme'inan kamaita. If you only told me the first case of shivrei kelim, of a keli that lost, let's say it broke on Yom Tov, da'i kama Rabbi Yehuda. In that case, Rabbi Yehuda was mahmir. I would say mishum demikara keli. Because it started off as a keli, v'ashta shever keli, and now it's a broken keli. That's really nolad. V'havelei nolad, v'asur. Aval temarim, but I would say by the date case, d'me'ikara gar'inin. Really, the gar'in of the date is there from the beginning. It's just, it's covered by the date itself, but it's there. V'ashta gar'inin, if you eat it, it's the same pit that is there. I would have thought maybe that's not considered nolad. That's what I had to tell me. No, even the pit case is considered nolad as well. That's why you need the case of the date. If it just gave me the case, let's say gave me the case of the dates with the pits, I would say, yeah, you know why it's nolad? Because originally it was covered by the date. The date covers the pit. And now you ate it, you uncovered it, so that's considered nolad. It wasn't visible. About kiripe gozim, but I might have argued and said, but the shells of the nuts, the me'ikara miglu, the shell is on the outside of the nut. Originally, it starts off revealed. The hashta miglu, and after you finish eating it, it's revealed. Ema shapir dema. I would have thought maybe that's not considered nolad. That's why it says tziricha. That's why you need that case as well. So there's three adushim in the din, which means you need the case of shivrei kelim. That's the obvious case. Shivrei kelim started off a keli, became nolad. Rabbi Yehuda is mahmir. You need the case of the dates because you might have thought, well, the pit was here already going into Yom Tov. No, that's also considered nolad. You need the case of the nuts, because you might have said, okay, I understand the pits could be nolad because it was covered. So you don't see it wasn't there. But the kilipot, that was it. Still, bottom line, after you finish eating the nut, the shell becomes nolad, and therefore you cannot use it to fuel the fire. So we need all three cases. Now, who brought these three cases down? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Right? That statement was brought down by Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. So comes the Gemara and says, "V'ha'derav la befirush itmar." This that Rav said, that en masikin b'shivrei kelim, that you're not allowed to use nolad on Yom Tov. He didn't say it explicitly. Lav befirush itmar, ela mechlala itmar. But we know it from an implication of something that he did. What's the implication? Derav achal tamre. Rav himself ate dates. That she says he ate dates during the week. During the week. Veshada kashyata lebukhya. And he threw the pits into the fire. Okay, that was his custom. During the week he would eat a date, he would take the pits, throw them in the fire. Amar le Rabbi Haya. So Rabbi Haya, when he saw Rav doing this, he said, Bar Pachte, son of Gedolim, kenegdo biyom tov asur. If you would do this on Yom Tov, it would be forbidden. So you're saying the same thing you just did now, by eating a date and throwing the pit in the fire, on Yom Tov, you would do the same thing, it would be asur. Why? Because of nolad. So you see, Rabbi Haya told Rav about the subject of nolad. The only question is, who said Rav accepted it? Just because Rabbi Haya told him, maybe Rav didn't accept it. So the Gemara asks that. Kibbela mineh, or lo kibbela mineh? Did Rav accept that halakha from Rabbi Haya or not? Dashema, I'll bring you a proof. Dechiyata Rav lebabel. It says when Rav got to Bavel, achal tamre, he ate dates on Yom Tov, v'shada kashyata l'chayuta, and after he finished eating the dates, he took the pits and he threw them to the animals. So now the Gemara says, my lab b'farsayata. And what type of dates did he eat? He ate the dates that are called farsayata dates. These dates, when you eat them, the date is removed from the pit entirely. Which means the pit is bald. There's nothing on the pit after he eats it. And therefore it's totally nolad. Which means there's no more, it's not considered food anymore. And still what do you see Rav did? Rav took the pit that had no food on it after he ate it, which means it's seemingly nolad, and still he took it and threw it to the animals, which obviously he held that it's permissible, which means he did not accept Rabbi Hiya's halakha that said on Yom Tov it's mukseh, because he took it and he fed it to the animals. So therefore you see what? He did not accept the case of Rabbi Hiya. So the Gemara says, Velo kibla mine. And then we could learn what? That he didn't accept it. Gemara says, la, la, who told you to talk about those type of dates? I'll tell you, b'armiyata. We're talking about armiyata dates. Armiyata dates, no matter how much you eat it, there's always some date left on the pit. So therefore, the pit is never considered mukseh. Why? Because there's always food on it. So since there's food on it, it's not considered, no, not, it's still considered a date. He ate a date of armiyata. He chewed on it. You can't get all the food off of such a date. So therefore what? The reason why he fed it to the animals is because it's still considered food. However, if he would eat a date that was totally cleaned off of its food, then you're right, he wouldn't have given it to the animals or thrown it into the fire because he holds of Rabbi Hiya. So therefore the Gemara says, Hu'il v'hazu agav imayu. Since their hazu agav imayu, since the pit over here is ra'ui, it's usable. I got imai because its mother is on it, meaning, literally, it has the date on it. Therefore, it's permissible. So therefore, we see that Rav himself was mahmir, not to use the pits of a date on Yom Tov, either to throw it to his animals or throw it into the fire. So you see, he accepted the Bihiyaz ruling on Yom Tov. It's a sur'in masikin be-gara'inin be-yom tov. Kavz Gimran says, Amale Rabbi Shmuel Bar Bar Hanada Rav Yosef Le Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda the Amad, Masikim Bekelim Vemasikim Shivre Kelim. So now he asks the question, according to Rabbi Yehuda that says En Masikim Shivre Kelim, that you're not allowed to use Shivre Kelim on Yom Tov, Kevan Dalik Behu Purta, once already you lit it partially, Havi Le Shivre Kelim, it turns into Shivre Kelim. And now when you're going to start to stoke it, you're going to be stoking with Isur. The question is like this. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you have a full keli, let's say you have a wooden cup, it's a keli. According to him, mutar to use it as a fuel. It went into Yom Tov as a keli, it's not a shivnei keli. You could take this wooden cup, throw it into the fire, let's say. Beautiful. So the Gemara asks, but once you throw it into the fire, what's going to happen to it? It's going to break. Obviously, the fire is going to consume it. It's going to go from becoming a keli to a shivre keli. Right? Automatic, when you throw a piece of wood into the fire, it's going to break. So now what's the problem? Well, now usually people stoke the fire. How are you going to stoke the fire? It turns out you're stoking the fire with shivre kelim. And we know that shivre kelim is asur. So the real question is, every full keli eventually turns into shivre keli. So never, how could you ever use a full keli on Yom Tov? Because it's gonna be consumed by the fire. It's gonna turn into shivre keli. Then when you come to stoke the fire, you're ending up stoking shivre keli, and you're not allowed to use shivre keli on Yom Tov. That was the question they asked to be Yehuda. So he says, no, da'avad kerab batna. No, we have an answer to that. He will follow the opinion of Rav Matna. But what does Rav Matna say? Damar Rav Matna Amarad, it seems shenashru min adeke letanur b'yom tov. Let's say you have a tree and twigs fell off the tree on Yom Tov. Those twigs that fell off the tree on Yom Tov are mukseh, because they went into Yom Tov as attached. Now that they fell off, since they didn't go into Yom Tov usable, so that they fell off on Yom Tov, they're mukseh. Now what happened? Let's say those twigs fell into a tanur, a furnace. So now you have mukseh twigs in the furnace. How are you gonna light? You can't light that furnace because its stuff was mukseh. So the Gemara says, you know what you do? Marbe ayetzim mukhanim umasikan. You take non-mukseh wood, meaning wood that was prepared before Yom Tov, and you go and you add it to the tanur, and you outnumber it. Which means, so long as the majority of wood is wood that is non-mukseh, so that uses the law of bitul barov. You negate it in its majority, and therefore you have no problem. For example, let's say you had a piece of wood, mukseh, fell into the furnace, mukseh wood. Very simple. Go take two pieces of non-mukseh wood, drop it into the furnace now. Now you have rov. Rov, good wood, no problem. Now you can be masik. So therefore the same thing. You took kelim, you threw it into the fire. Now as they're being consumed, what happened? It turned into shivre kelim. How are you going to stoke it? No problem. Go take prepared wood that was prepared for before Yom Tov, throw it into the fire, outnumber it, make it rov. And once you have rov, it is permissible. As the Gemara says, Rav Menuna Amar. Rav Menuna comes along now and gives another answer to how to explain our Mishnah. Which means, the first din in our Mishnah was Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tebeim, and Rabbi Akiva Omer Tehorim, by Petilata Begit Shkepela, by this wick that you... This beged, and you fold it into a wick. Until now we understood the reason of teme'in or tehorin is that it was talking about a 3x3, it's ma'ot beged. And the question was, does the folding of it keep the status still of 3x3, it's ma'ot, or does it ruin the status? According to Bili, once you fold it, even though you folded it, doesn't mean anything. It's still considered 3x3, it's ma'ot, therefore susceptible to tum'ah. According to Rabbi Akiva, the folding it is mevatel it from a 3x3 as ma'ot beged, and therefore it is not susceptible to tumah. That's the way we learned till now. Now we're giving a second reason to explain why one rabbi says teme'ah and one rabbi says tehorah. And he says, Amar achav ir befakot meshlosha or shlosha askinan. Here we're talking about, it is not a 3x3 as ma'ot. We're talking about it is less than 3x3 tefahim. Oh, now let's analyze. If it was 3x3 tefahim, this garment, we know everybody says it's susceptible to tumah. That's considered a full-fledged beged. It's worthy to be used by poor people for their patches. It's worthy to even be used by rich people because it has the proper size of 3x3 tefahim. But we're talking about a garment over here in our Mishnah where it's less than 3x3 tefahim. More than 3 etzba'ot, less than 3 tefachim. Now, what's the subject over here? So he says, Umikule matlaniyot shanu. Kan. And we're talking about a matlit, a garment, let's say, that's considered kule matlaniyot, which you have it, but you use it, it's insignificant to you. Why is it insignificant to you? Because, since it's less than 3x3 tefachim. However, you will use it, let's say, for a certain function. For example, the as that Rabbi Eliezer Tame, the Rabbi Eliezer follows his reasoning, Rabbi Akiva Tame, Ditnan. Now we're going to give you the case. We have a Mishnah, and we're going to apply this law of the Mishnah to our Mishnah. Bachot Mishlosha, Shlosha. Let's say you have less than 3x3 tefachim, a garment. Shitkinu lepkak et amirhatz. And you designated it in order to use it as a stopper in the bathhouse. You want to see that picture? It's 268. You have a bathhouse, and that's a pipe that lets water into the mikveh, let's say. Now you want to clog up the pipe, you don't want the water to go in. So they would take this garment, that's less than 3x3, and use it as a cork, let's say. They would stick it into the hole. That's one thing they would use it for. Or ul-na'ir bota kedera. Or they would use it as a pot holder. If you look at 269, you see the guy takes the garment. His pot is very hot, so therefore he uses it to hold the pot, no, they can pour out of it. Or he uses it to clean out the mill. Let's say he has a grinder, so it's dirty. So he takes this this Begin over here, and he uses it to clean out. So the Gemara says, we have a three-way mahloket. Does the fact that you use it for something now make it hashuv, and therefore it's considered a Begin, and therefore it'll be susceptible to tumah, even though it's an insignificant item, because it's less than 3 by 3 tefachim, but does its fact that you designated for a usage, does that make it susceptible? So the Gemara says a three-way mahloka. Gemara says, ben minamukhan u ben she'en minamukhan, whether it's prepared or whether it's not prepared, tameh, the ben Abili Aizir. Abili Aizir says, we'll see what this prepared or not prepared. The Gemara will explain it momentarily. But the point is, Abili Aizir said, it's always susceptible. But Rabbi Yehoshua Omer, Rabbi Yehoshua says, ben minamukhan ben shelo minamukhan, whether it's prepared, whether it's not prepared, tahor. So again, Rabbi Yehoshua Shita is, it's always tahor. And Rabbi Akiva splits the ticket. Rabbi Akiva Omer, minamukhan, if it's prepared, tameh. Ishlo minamukhan, tahor. So now let's just review the mahloket very quickly. You have three shitot here regarding this, which we call kule matlaniyot, these insignificant garments. Again, they are less than 3 by 3 tefachim. Rabbi Eliezer says it's always tameh. Ben mukhan, ben eno min mukhan. We'll see what that terminology means immediately. Rabbi Yehoshua says it's always tahor. Ben min mukhan, ben eno min mukhan. Rabbi Akiva makes a haluk. Mukhan, prepared, tameh. Eno mukhan, not prepared, tahor. So comes the Gemara and asks, says, V'amar Ula, V'etima lava v'rchana, Amar b'yohanan, Hakol modim. Everybody agrees, Zarko be'ashpa, Devra kol tahor. Everybody agrees, if you took this garment, and you threw it in the garbage, it's tahor. Because once already you're throwing it in the garbage, what did you show? It's significant to you. And since it has less than shiur, 3 by 3 tefahim, it's not susceptible to tumah. That's the extreme case. If you threw it in the garbage, Vadai tahor, because it shows you have no uses for such a garment. So therefore, tahor. We turn to Ramud Bet. Hiniho bekufsa. Everybody agrees as well. If let's say you took this garment and you placed it in a box, devrei hakol tameh, because by placing it in a box, what are you showing? That it's important to you. So therefore, those are the extremes. Kufsa, 100%, according to everybody, tameh, susceptible to tumah. Hiniho be'ashpa, devrei hakol tahor. So where is the point of machloket over here? So it says, lo nechleku, the three rabbis argued in two cases. Ela shetela'o be'magod, either you hung the cloth on a peg, or sheniho la'chore adelet, or you placed it behind the door. Which means, you didn't store it in a box, but you didn't throw it in the garbage either. The question is, how do you look at the garment over here that you, let's say, put on a peg, or that you put it behind the door? So there's going to be a summit. Do you consider it like the garbage, or do you consider it like the kufsa? That's going to be the areas of contention. Now let's read it inside. Rabbi Eliezer Sabar, Rabbi Eliezer has extreme view. He says, Midelo zarko be'ashpa, the fact that you didn't throw it in the garbage, that's considered your mind is on it. Which means he holds extreme. Anything less than throwing it in the garbage is considered a keli. Which means that's considered prepared. That's considered mukhan. Which means kufsa, magod, that's the peg, and ahore adelet. It's all considered according to him mukhan, meaning prepared. It's all considered prepared in your mind to use. So the Gemara says, "Umay dekari leshelo min hamukhan." Yes, so then why did he say, "Ben mukhan ben shelo min hamukhan"? According to the Rabbi Eliezer, everything is considered mukhan. Everything is considered prepared for use. So why did he say, whether it's mukhan or not mukhan? So he said, no. Dilgabe kufsa lav mukhanu. He says, you're right. That terminology, lav mukhan, was in comparison to kufsa, which means a peg, putting it on a peg, or putting it behind the door, is considered not prepared compared to the level of putting it in a box. But it's still considered prepared regarding the garbage. So therefore, according to him, the Bili is Mahmir. Teme'ahi, unless you put it in the Ashpa. Rabbi Yeshua Sabar, he holds the exact opposite. He says, Midiloini hobbe kufsa. Once you didn't place it in the box, betule batle. So he says, once you didn't put it in a kufsa, that means whether you put it in the garbage, for certain it's tahor. Even if you put it on the peg, or you put it on the back of the door, he also holds tahor. Which means, unless it's in the box, it is going to be tahor. Which is, he holds really, everything is not mukhan. Everything is not considered prepared, unless it's in a box. So the Gemara says, umay karile mukhan. But Rabbi Yoshua's language was, whether it's prepared or not prepared, it's tahor. What do you mean? Everything according to the B, Yoshua is considered not prepared. So what does he mean when he said mukhan? Says the legabe ashpa mukhanu. Yeah, in relative to ashpa, it's considered mukhan. But really, it's not considered a beged, because we're to say that so long as he didn't put it in a kufsa, it's going to be tahor. The Rabbi Akiva splits it. He says, "Betila o b'magod, hang it on a peg. Savar could it be the Ezer?" He'll say it's like the Rabbi Ezer. That what? It's considered still hashuv to him, and therefore he's storing it on the peg, and therefore it's tamim. When he puts it behind the door, Savad la, can it be Yoshua? He also going to be Yoshua, that why it'll be Tahor. So Rabbi Akiva says the following. According to Rabbi Akiva, you have four cases. Kufsa, put it in Kufsa, of course it's going to be Tameh. Kufsa, you're storing it. Second case, you put it on the peg. Oh, putting it on the peg? Now that's also considered protecting it. And therefore what? That'll be the Israel hold, and therefore it's susceptible to tumah. Putting it behind the door, it's already like you're getting rid of it, and therefore hold like Rabbi Akiva, hold like Rabbi Yoshua. That what? Tahor, and of course ashpa tahor. So because then we have a three-way machloket. According to Rabbi Eliezer, who now we're going to use that shita to explain our Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer says you have a matlit, you have a garment. Let's say it's less than 3x3 tefachim. But what? In your mind, you have intent to use it either for a peacock, for the bathhouse, or you're going to use it for a pot holder, or you're going to use it to clean out the rehayim. So therefore, that usage can give it some hashivut. Once it's considered hashuv, it's susceptible to tumah. But the meaning is that, you know what? So long as you didn't throw it away, okay, where you put it. Certainly, if you put it in a kufsa, but even if it's on a peg or behind the door, it's still considered hashuv and susceptible to tumah. And that's Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah that said petilat ha-beged. It's talking about two distinct cases. We always understood our Mishnah, it's talking about a beged, where you turned it into a wick. And now we want to discuss the tumah issue and the lighting issue. According to this answer, saying no, it's two separate issues. We're talking about an Al Mishnah before you made it a wick. You have a regular garment that's less than 3x3 tefachim. What's, and what? You designated it for one of these usages. Rabbi Eliezer says, Teme'ahi. What? That's a shita in the Mishnah that we just read. Why is it Teme'ah? So long as you didn't throw it in the garbage, it's still considered hashuf. Finished. So therefore, if somebody would ask you, what's the shita of Rabbi Eliezer in Al Mishnah? That's his famous shita of kule matlaniyot, of insignificant garments that are less than 3x3 tefachim, that he holds, that they're susceptible until you throw them in the garbage. Alright, what about the wicks? The wicks is a different case. The wicks is talking about, can you use wicks on Shabbat? What type of wicks? The Bible says, since you didn't singe it, so when you finally made it into a wick, you didn't singe it? Okay, you can't use it because you didn't singe it, and therefore the flame doesn't catch. Two different dinim. The reason for wicks not being used on Shabbat is because you didn't singe it. And the reason of tumah is because of tumah, a case where you have, let's say, a garment that is less than 3x3, etc. And the Rabbi Akiva will say, well, the Rabbi Akiva said, Tehorai. Oh, but that's a problem. Because the Rabbi Akiva said in the Mishnah, Tehorai, but in our Mishnah regarding Kulim Matlaniyot, he split the ticket. He said it depends. Sometimes it's Tahor, and sometimes it's Tameh. If you put it on a peg, so he said it's Tameh. If you put it behind the door, Tahor. So what do you mean? It's a problem. It's not exactly Rabbi Akiva about Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no. Ve'hadar be Rabbi Akiva legabed Rabbi Yoshua. Eventually Rabbi Akiva retracted his opinion, and he actually indeed holds like Rabbi Yoshua. And therefore, everything is tahor. So long as what? So long as it's out of the kufsa, according to Rabbi Yoshua, so Rabbi Akiva retracted to say like Rabbi Yoshua. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva mitaharin. Rabbi Akiva says tahorin. Now, Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know he retracted? Amar Rava, Rava said, Midiktani, from the fact that it says in the Mishnah, Pitilat Habbegid. It calls the garment in our Mishnah Habbegid. Habbegid means it is a legitimate garment. So the Gemara says, Mai Idiya. Why did the Mishnah choose to illustrate this case? Ditani Pitilat Habbegid. It called it a garment, litni pitila shel beged. Normally when you make, let's say, a wick, you have a garment, you rip a little piece off the garment to make a wick. It should have said pitila shel beged, meaning a pitila that you made from a garment. My pitila ta beged. What does it mean when it says pitila ta beged? So it says, da'adayin beged hu. Which means, obviously, what? It's still considered a beged, it's still considered a garment. Oh, so now we're talking about what? Which means it's still considered a garment, meaning according to the Bili Ezer. The Bili Ezer says what? He says Temein. It's Tameh. It's susceptible to Tumah. Which means it's still considered a garment. Why? Because you didn't throw it out. So long as you didn't throw it out, according to the Bili Ezer, whether it's in the Kufsa, whether it's in the Magod, whether it's behind the door, that's considered mukhan according to him, and therefore it's susceptible to tumah. So whatever cases Rabbi Eliezer was metameh, Rabbi Akiva must have said tahor. In what? Those cases. If it was in a kufsa for sure, even if it was on the peg tahor, and even if it was behind the door. So therefore you see, and we're talking about what? It's a megister, which means it's still considered something that is hashuv. And still, which is 3x3, less than that you designated for these usages over here. And we'll have the machloket of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. So let's now review that we've finished this point of the Mishnah. Comes out the Maskana de Milta. In conclusion, we have two reasons to explain the Tum'ah and Tahara issue of the Mishnah, and we have two reasons to explain the usage for a Ner of our Mishnah. Let's review the two reasons. Reason number one, let's discuss Tum'ah first. The Tum'ah issue is what? Either we'll say the case of the Mishnah is 3x3, etzba'ot, and you took a 3x3 etzba'ot and you folded it into a wick, and the machloket is, does the folding take it out of its 3x3 status? The Bili Ezer says no, therefore 3x3 is susceptible to Tum'ah. But Rabbi Akiva says it does. That's one answer. Second answer that we just have now, that we just gave now from Rav Menuna, he says, no, it's not 3x3, it's ma'ot. It's less than 3x3 tefachim, the garment, and the issue is where you designated it for one of these usages, and it's still considered obvious, like we learned in our Mishnah, it's a beged, I mean it still has hashivu to it, and what? You have the machloket, it says, why? So long as you throw it in the garbage yet, it's Tamea, it's considered Hashuv. According to Rabbi Akiva, no, it's done. Once you took it out of the Kufsa, once you're not storing it in a Kufsa, finish, it is Tahor. So that's the subject of Kule Matlaniyot. That's the Tum'ah Tahara issue. Regarding the lighting issue, Rabbi Eliezer said, Eh Madikima, Rabbi Akiva said, Madikima, we have a Mahlokar on that as well. The first Shita, the Gemara, which we have Adabara Hava, he holds what? The issue is on Yom Tov. It's not a Shabbat issue. It's a Yom Tov issue. It's a 3x3 etzba'ot, precise. And the issue is in Masikin b'Shivrei Kelim b'Yom Tov. Because the second you light it, it's going to turn into Shivrei Keli. Once it turns into Shivrei Keli, it's no lad. Now you're lighting with no lad, Mukseh. So that's why the Bili Ezer will say, En Madlikin. Rabbi Akiva will say, Ken Madlikin. Because he will hold that what? Once you turn into a wick, so it's a wick. It's not considered Tribah, it's not considered a bigot anymore. And therefore, there's no problem of Shivrei Kenim. It's already a wick. A wick is like a piece of wood, which is mutat to light on Yom Tov. It's considered prepared already. Rava's reasoning would be, no, the reason why you can't light it is not only on Yom Tov. It's 52 weeks a year you can't light it on Shabbat. On Friday, why? Because you didn't make Hibhub. But that the bigot shkepela velo hibhaba. Since you didn't make Hibhub, you didn't singe it. The bigot says the flame doesn't catch good. Therefore, madlikimba every Shabbat. No, even though you didn't make Hibhub, you can light. So because we have two reasons for Tum'ah and two reasons for Hadlaka. Comes the Gemara Mishnah. Lo yikov adam shufufirit shel betza. A person is not allowed, he should not make a hole in an egg, in an eggshell, the malena shemen, and fill the eggshell with oil. The itinena al pianer, and take that eggshell filled with oil and place it over a receptacle, bishvir shetem min natefet, in order that what? It should drip slowly, slowly into the receptacle. If you look at your pictures, you'll see on your Pirush High, picture 270. You see the ner is considered the receptacle that they put the wick in. That's called the ner. You see the eggshell, they made a hole on top of it. They filled it with oil. And what? There's a hole on the bottom of it where it's dripping slowly into the receptacle. They do not want you to create such an apparatus. Erev Shabbat, don't light your nerot with such an apparatus. Va'afilui shel heres. Even if you didn't use an eggshell, look at picture 271. Let's say you took heres, let's say an earthenware pot, and you put oil in it, and you inserted that into the ner, and it's doing the same thing, dripping. We do not want you to use it. What's the reason? So that she says, because we're concerned, since you designated it for the ner, on Shabbat you might come and take it away. You might come and take the eggshell away filled with the oil to use it. Now what happens? By taking away the oil, you're subject now to the melacha of mechabeh. It's considered extinguishing. Why is it considered extinguishing? Because once you put it there before Shabbat, that's considered, this is the oil that's going to light. By taking it away, you're taking away fuel. And therefore it's as if you what? Obviously, the fire is going to go out now because you took away its fuel. So we don't want you to light in such a way, gezerah, that you might come to take the egg. And even heres, which is a hadush, which we'll see, you might think that heres, since it's ma'us, it's really disgusting. You might say, guy's not going to touch heres with all the oil in it. No, even heres is also, as soon as we suspect that you might come to take the heres, therefore it's going to be subject to extinguishing. So again, let's read that in the Mishnah again. Lo yikov adam shuvavet shebesa per, should not make a hole in the egg, v'imale ena shemen, fill it with oil, v'itenena p'yadena, and place it over the receptacle, b'shvish tim enal tefen, also that should it drip. V'afilui shel heres, even if it is heres, it is asuv. Rabbi Yehuda matir. Rabbi Yehuda is matir, we will see why. Aval, however, im hebera yosir metechila, if let's say the craftsman attached it originally before Shabbat, like you see in picture 272, where he attached the heres, let's say, to the ner, mutar bepneshu kiliyahad. Everybody will say it's mutar because it's considered one receptacle. And you can't, no, we don't suspect that you're going to come and lift up your ner on Shabbat. The thing was, if it's separate, you might come to lift up the egg, or you might come to lift up the chayre. But if it's one keli, no problem. Lo yimale adam ke'ara shel shemen. A person should not fill a ke'ara of oil. That's a bowl of oil. V'yitinena besadarin, and place that bowl of oil next to a receptacle with a wick in it. V'yitinena shepetila betocha. You're going to place one end of the wick in the bowl filled of oil, and the other end of the wick you're going to put in the ner. And what's going to happen? It's going to draw. The oil is going to draw from one receptacle to the other. If you look at picture number 273, you see they have a bowl of oil next to a ner. And the wick is going from the bowl into the ner, and it's drawing the oil. According to the Mishnah, it says, Lo yimale adam ke'ara shel shemen. A person should not do such a thing. V'Rabbi Yehuda matir. But the Yehuda says, it's okay. Again, what's the gezerah? Why would the first rabbi say, asur? Same thing, you might take away the bowl. If you designated it there before Shabbat, It's like extinguishing. The Bibi Das says that we don't make a gezerah. Now we're going to analyze why we needed all these cases. Basically, it's saying the same thing three times. According to the Bibi Das, according to Tanakama, you can't place an egg over a keli. You can't place a heres over a keli. And you cannot place two kelim distinctively. All the same gezerah. Why? Because you might come to take it. So comes the Gemara and says, Vesirika. You need all the cases. Let's discuss the case of the egg and the hayres. The ashmina if you just gave me the case of the egg, banan. In this case, the rabbi said the kevan de lo miisa. Since the egg is not disgusting, ateres to pukemine. The gezeras you might come to take from it on Shabbat. Therefore, we don't want you to. About shit hayres, but I would have thought maybe hayres de miisa. That's really disgusting once you put oil in it. Ema module Rabbi Yehuda. I would have thought maybe they agreed to Rabbi Yehuda that we don't suspect that you might come to take it. Therefore, I had to tell me the case of hayres, and even in hayres, the rabbis are osir. V'yashmiina shit hayres, and if you gave me the case of hayres alone, beha kama Rabbi Yehuda. I say in that case, Rabbi Yehuda is lenient. Why? Because he doesn't suspect you're going to take the hayres because it is maus. Aval, but in the case of the egg, ema modu lil rabbanan. I would say my baby agrees with the rabbanan, so therefore I had to give the case of the egg as well to tell you the biyuda is mekel across the board. So you need both cases. The yashmina anaktarti, and if you gave me the case of the egg and the hayres, I would say behari kamar biyuda mishum delom mifsak. I would say, you know why the biyuda is mekel by the case of putting the egg over the ner and the hayres? Because it's one vessel. Bottom line, it's attached. So I don't suspect that you're going to come along now and lift up the vessel. Just like I don't suspect if you have a regular nir with oil in it. Do I suspect on Shabbat that you might come to take some oil out of it? Right. Of course not. So the Biyudah will say, listen, when you have an egg attached into the nir, also it's considered one keli, no suspicion. How about kara? But I would have said, maybe a kara which is separate. It's a separate vessel filled with oil. Maybe I would say, the mifseka, since it's separate, I might think that they agreed to the banan, therefore it's asur. That's why I had to give me that case as well. That if that's lenient, not only when it's going to look like one, but even when you have oil in a separate vessel, he doesn't suspect that you might come to take it. And if you only gave me the third case, meaning the case of the kara filled with shemen, I would say in that case the rabbis were gozer. Why? Because it's a separate vessel. Therefore he suspects that you might come to take it away. But I would say maybe in the case of the egg and the hayres, maybe they agree to it because it looks like one. So therefore we need all three cases to teach us chidushim according to the banan and the biyuda. All three cases are necessary. You need the egg case and you need the hayres case. Why? Because the rabbis will tell you not only on the egg, but which is not ma'us, but even on the hayres, which ma'us, do we suspect that you might come to take it. And you need the third case also, because you might think if you only said the third case, you say, in that case maybe the rabbis will mahmir, because it's separate, so you might come to take it. But when it's together, no, that's why you needed all three cases. And then the Hadushim as well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, comes the Gemara and says, however, if the craftsman attached it before Shabbat, mutar. So the Gemara says, Tana, we have a statement from Tanaim. Im habbera besid ubaharasit, meaning if the balabayit, if the owner of the ner, let's say before Shabbat, he went and he attached the hayres or the egg, if he attached it to the ner with seeds, seed would be limestone, harasit would be like, harasit would be like a cement, mutar, it's permissible. Now who's attaching it? The balabayit. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? We learned that it's got to be done by a craftsman. How could you tell me now if the Balabai did it? The Balabai is not a craftsman. He's a yotzer. Yotzer is a craftsman. Now you tell me that even a regular guy can do it. So the Gemara says, my yotzer, what is a yotzer? Ke'ayin yotzer. I mean, it doesn't mean an actual craftsman. It means that he did it professionally. I mean, he did it like a yotzer. He did a good job, meaning it's solid. You didn't just do a half job where it was going to come out. You did it where you attached the hayres, let's say, to the ner in a yotzer level. That means it is tied. Comes again when it says, Tanya, we have a braita. Amar Yehuda. Pam achat shabbatenu ba'aliyat bet nadza. We were in the attic at Bet Nadza. We spent Shabbat there, Rabbi Yehuda says. Belod, in the city of Lod. Ve'viyu lanu shevavedet shel betza. So they brought us on Friday, shevavedet shel betza, an eggshell, umalanuha shemen. So we filled the eggshell with oil, v'nakbenuha, and we made a hole on the bottom of it, v'nichua alpi, v'nachnuha alpi anir, and we place it over the nir. Which is exactly what our Mishnah says in the name of Chachamim, that is Asur, they did it. V'ayasham Rabbi Tarfon v'zikinim, and Rabbi Tarfon and the elders were there, v'lo amru lanu davar, they didn't tell us anything. So you see what? Must be, it's mutar. They with us, we got away with it. The rabbis were there, they saw us what we did, they didn't say anything. So Gemara says, amru udo, misham raya. Oh, you're bringing a proof from over there? Shani bit nadzad zirizinen. The people of bit nadzah, they were meticulous people, they were zariz. And therefore, for them, let's say the gezerah did not apply. Which is, could be the gezerah for everybody else, applies. That what? You're not allowed to use over the nadzah. Don't get excited from the fact that Mitarfon didn't rebuke over there. Hey, these rabbis are zirizim over here. They're not concerned that you might come to make isur shabbat. That does no proof that that is not the halakha. That's a little strange that you see already rabbis making gezerah, and you know, it applies to some people, it doesn't apply to other people. You know, if you're a Zariz guy, you don't got to worry about it. If you're not a Zariz guy, so Rav Moshe has a whole discussion exactly how this works in a sefer Debirot Moshe. Abin Sipura, there was a fellow called Abin Sipura, Abin from Sipori, Garar Safsela, he dragged a safsal, a bench, Ba'alita de Shisha, on a marble floor, in a marble room, where the floor was made out of marble, Le'ahelam Rabbi Yitzhak ben Elazar, in front of Rabbi Yitzhak ben Elazar. Again, he took a bench, and he dragged it on a marble floor. Amar Le'eh. So, Rabbi Yitzhak ben Elazar saw him doing this. He said, Ishetuke lach. If I keep quiet and don't tell you anything, like my friends kept quiet when the Biuda used the Shifa Fenichel Betzah, they didn't tell him anything. A problem is going to come out, destruction is going to come out of this, which means, because my colleagues didn't rebuke the Biuda when he used the Shifa Fenichel, in the case above, what ended up happening? They made a mistake. They came along and said, oh, you see, Shifa Fenichel is Mutar. So I'm not going to make the same mistake. You're doing something over here, that's a problem. What was the problem? He's dragging it on marble. What could be a problem of dragging a bench on marble? So he says, Gezerah, alita de shisha, atu alita de alma. We make a gezerah. If we let you do it on marble, you might come to drag it on dirt. And when you're dragging it on dirt, you're making a furrow. Now even though you're not mitkaven, you don't care to make a furrow. So when this is the going point, the pin of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Dabar she'in mitkaven asur. So therefore, when Rabbi Yitzhak ben Elazar saw the rabbi dragging it on a marble, he said, I'm not going to keep quiet over here. I don't want people to make a mistake. And he's asur. Why is it asur? Gezerah that you might come to do it on dirt. And even if you do it on dirt, what's the problem? We call it Rabbi Yehuda. Dabar she'in mitkaven asur. Gemara says, Resh k'nishta debatzra. She explains, this was the man in charge of the setting up the chairs for the students in the Bet Knesset. He was like the, we'll call him maybe a headmaster or the head teacher. Resh Kinishtad de Botsra. Botsra was a city in Bavel. Garar Safsela. He dragged a Safsal, a bench. In front of Rabbi Rimiya Rabba. That was his name, Rabbi Rimiya Rabba. Amar le keman. So he told him, I see you dragging a bench over here. Who do you hold like? Can it be Shimon? You hold like Rabbi Shimon? It seems he was dragging it even on dirt. Mm-hmm. And Rabbi Shimon says it's permissible. Why? Because he says a davar she'en mitkaven mutar. So therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabba saw him dragging a safsal. He said, I see you dragging it on the dirt over there. Must be you go like Rabbi Shimon that says davar she'en mitkaven mutar. So he says, hold it. He says, you misinterpreted Rabbi Shimon, my friend. Imar de'amar Rabbi Shimon begidolim de lo efshar. Yeah, when did Rabbi Shimon say he could drag? Only on a big item. Because you have no option. You can't carry the big item. You have no option to drag it. However, beketanim mi'amar, was he lenient on small items? Which means Rabbi Shimon will hold on a small item. Why do you have to drag it? Lift it. lift it and carry it. Mm-hmm. So therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbah was saying, you made a mistake over here. You think that Rabbi Shimon allowed you to drag this small item over here? No, sirree. He only allowed you to drag big items. Why? Big items have no choice. So therefore, it'd be mekel. But a small item, lift it up. So that's the way Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbah learns Rabbi Shimon. Small items forbidden, big items mutar. Ufliga de ula. This argues on the way Ula understood it. The Amar Ula machloket beketanim. He says that it's a machloket even on small items, meaning Rabbi Shimon is lenient even on small items. Ava begedolim de vrakon mutar. But Ula says when it comes to big items, even Rabbi Yehuda will be mekel. So it comes out we have a machloket in Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbah and Ula had learned the machloket of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, which means we all agree Rabbi Yehuda says davar she'en mitkaven asur, and Rabbi Shimon says davar she'en mitkaven mutar. And what we know that Rabbi Shimon is lenient in dragging things on dirt, what Rabbi Yehuda is mahmir, but to what extent? Rabbi Yehuda Rabbah says that leniency of Rabbi Shimon to drag stuff on a dirt is only said by big items. While Ula comes along and says, nah, it's said by big items and small items as well. So comes again and says, Matib Rav Yosef brought a question from a braita. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon taught, Gorer Adam, Mita, Kise, Vesafsal. A person could drag, Mita is a bed. Bed is a big item. Kise is a chair. A chair is a small item. Safsal is also, I'd say, a small item. So long as you don't have intention to make a fire, that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. The Gemara says ketani gedolim veketani ketanim. Rabbi Shimon discussed both big items and small items. Kasha l'tarvayu. This is a question on both rabbis, meaning it's a question on Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbah, because he said Rabbi Shimon was only lenient by big items. Here we see he's lenient by small items as well, because what did he say? Gorer Adam Mita, okay, that's a big item, but he also said you can be Gorer A Kise, that's a small item. So that's a question of Rabbi Yad that said that Rabbi Shimon was not lenient by small items. And it's a question according to Ula as well. Because Ula told me what? That Rabbi Yehuda was lenient by big items. Everybody's lenient by big items. And now we see, no, that's only Rabbi Shimon's opinion that he's lenient on big items. And play Rabbi Yehuda argues that big items is going to be Asur. So the Gemara says, no, Ula mitaretz ta'ameh, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbah mitaretz ta'ameh. Both Ula and Rabbi Yirmiyahu can answer according to their reasonings. And say, Ula mitaretz ta'ameh, Ula will answer what? Mita dumya de kise. He'll say, yeah, what type of mita are we talking about? You're talking about a big bed? No, I can tell we're talking about a mita that's similar to a kise. A small bed like a small chair. And if all the cases of this bright are talking about small items, right, let's understand that. If all the items are small items, what is it saying? That Rabbi Shimon is saying, even small items, a small bed, a chair, are permissible. That's Ula Shita. Ula says that Rabbi Shimon is mekel even by small items. Yeah, but it says mita. Yeah, well, who did it say what type of bed it is? Who said it's a king size bed? Maybe it's a tiny, a small bed. And he says, yeah, mita is similar to a kise. And therefore, small items will be short as matir. That's exactly Ola's opinion. Then Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbah mitretz tameh. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbah will explain according to his opinion and say what? Kise dumya demita. As I hear, the kise is similar to the bed. Which is, you know what type of kise we're talking about? A big chair, similar to a bed. So the question, do you compare the chair to the bed or the bed to the chair? So according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, so we're talking about big items. Yeah, on big items, that's when the Bishimon was matir. Why? Because you have no choice. But on small items, no. Ula will say, no, the case of is talking about all small items. Which means, Rabbi Shimon is matir, even small items, according to the Shita of Ula. So each rabbi will interpret the Braita in order to fit in with their Shita. Last point, Matib Rabbah. Rabbah brought a Braita, brought a question. Mochre kesut, people that are selling suits. Kesut is a suit. But what? It has shatnez, these suits. Has kelayim. Mochrim kedarkan. So it says they can wear them. Jeez, they used to be living mannequins. They used to wear their items to model them in front of the customers, even though it's Shabbos. So it says, "Ubelvad shelo yitkaven b'hamam apnei hama." So long as you don't have kavanah to benefit from it, let's say to protect you from the sun during the sun, ubegeshami b'gesheman. You don't have kavanah to protect you from the rain during the rain. This is obviously going to be Shimon. The Mishnah says, "Davar she'en mitkaven mutar." So therefore, you could wear the shapnez to model it to the customer, so long as you don't have kavanah to benefit from it. Now, the Gemara does say that Sinu'in, as she says, these are the kosher people that are, they distance themselves from any type of questionable situation. Mafshilin b'makel ahorehen. They put the clothes on a stick, and they carry it on their shoulders, so they don't have to wear it. And you look at picture number 274, and you see a guy holding clothes on a stick all over his shoulder. So comes the Gemara and says a question now. Gemara says, V'ahacha... Over here, the ifshal le mi'ibad kitznurim. Over here, the guy had an option. We're allowing him to wear it, even though he had an option. What? To put it on a stick over his shoulder. Dechi ketanim nami. It's similar to ketanim, which means vechi lo mitkaven shari Rabbi Shimon lechatechila tiyuftad Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabba. Which means, what did Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabba say? The B'nimiyah Rabba said what? That the B'Shimon was only mekel by what? Gedolim, because you have no option. But by Ketanim, since you have an option to lift it up, the B'Shimon is Mahmir. The B'nimiyah, the case of Shanez argues on your principle. Because the B'Shimon allows the seller to wear the Shanez, even though he has an option to carry it on the stick over his shoulder. So you see what? Even though you have options, it doesn't matter. So long as you're not mitkaven, it's mutar. So then we'll say the same thing by the ketanim. Why do you say it's forbidden to do ketanim? Because he has an option. He can lift it. I don't care. So long as you're not mitkaven, just like the guy wearing the shatnez. Didn't we say it's mutar for him? What do you mean? He has an option to do it like the tzinuim? And Rabbi Shimon didn't care. Since you're not mitkaven, mutar. So therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah, why would you say that the Rabbi Shimon is mahmir by ketanim? So give us teyufta. The Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabba, teyufta. Which it's refuted. This braita is a refutation to the opinion of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabba. Therefore, we would go like Ula. That would say what? The Bishamon is lenient whether it's Kitana or it's a Gedola. Aye, the Braita said, that the Bishamon said, Mita Kise Vesafsal. So very good. Mita Kise Vesafsal. Can we talk about even small items, which means small items the Bishamon will be. Even the Bishul will be kill on small items. And the reason why he chose small items, because the Biuda, his counterpart will be Mahmir on small items. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Amen. In the previous Shiurim and in the upcoming Shiurim, we are and have been referring to different pictures of the different cases that the Daf is referring to. We are using a Sefer called Perush Chai. And therefore, if our listeners want to purchase the Perush Chai and follow along as we announce the numbers in that book where these pictures are, it would be a tremendous aid in order to understand the cases more clearly.